Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
What's up, man?
Not much. What's going on?
Oh, you know, just being a nerd, geeking out, watching Voltron.
Yeah.
How far did you get?
I haven't watched any of it yet.
You haven't watched any of it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
What did I watch? Oh, Infinity War. About Infinity War on Tuesday and watched it Tuesday.
Nice. Well, I did that when it came out on iTunes, where I watched it. And
then, yesterday before work, I watched the Roundtable.
The Roundtable was really cool.
It was interesting.
And yeah. James Gunn has a huge part to play in it.
Yeah.
Which was...
It just was interesting to hear how they build off of each other.
Right.
Especially with Infinity War coming up after Black Panther and Ragnarok, how
yeah.
Taika and Ryan Coogler had...
such big parts to play.
Russo's on the set
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah. yeah. It was very, very cool. I was surprised to see Joss Whedon in it.
Yeah.
Just because he had...
Well, he had produced a few more than he directed.
But he also had such harsh words for Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, after the fact.
But he's a comic book geek. So,
yeah.
So, you know.
It was nice to see... Like, do you remember the Table of Five or whatever that Favreau did on IFC?
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that.
Was, yeah.
So... which was cool. The Russos were really just kind of quiet and subdued. It was kind of cool.
I think that's just the way they are.
Yeah.
Especially the one, well, I don't know which one's which. The one who wears glasses seems like he don't talk that much at all.
Yeah, I don't think he said too much. He's, Anthony?
But on the Blu-ray, they had an introduction. They did an introduction.
Yeah.
Like, you could watch it with an introduction.
Oh, cool.
And that, and they were, like, thanking the fans and all that for... sticking around this long, and mm-hmm. they were, you know, thanking them for sticking with them.
Yeah.
For what they had done.
Cool, cool.
And I was kind of, like, disappointed that they didn't get Kenneth Branagh or, what's his name, that directed the second Thor. But I'm like, everybody on that table had directed more than one Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Except for Ryan Coogler.
Well,
and Taika.
So far.
Right.
You know.
Everybody else that was sitting at a table had directed at least two Marvel movies.
So since we're talking about this, and we talked about it a little bit ago, the James Gunn thing.
Yeah.
So Disney came out and definitively said he's not coming back.
That's fine. They want to be smart to use his script for the third movie, though.
Yeah, it would be very smart to use his script. So I'd be interested. It's on hold. So it's getting pushed back.
You know, if they're thinking of using one of the directors from a previous Marvel movie.
Yeah.
I kind of would rather see Ryan Coogler than Taika.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
That would be really interesting.
Just because sitting there watching, because I've never seen any interviews with Ryan Coogler. I've seen two movies he's done now. He's, directed four movies, I think?
He Fruitvale Station,
yeah.
Creed, Black Panther.
There's something else, I think. There was something before Fruitvale. Fruitvale was his first, like, major.
I think that's his first, like, full-length movie.
Yeah. But listening to him, you know, being a student of film, because he went to school for film and, you know, was talking about how some of those people that, you know, were sitting at that table, he studied. Which was interesting.
It was really, like, I liked when he was talking.
He was the youngest guy at the table, and that I learned stuff from you indirectly.
I liked when he was talking about going to see Black Panther, or not Black Panther, Iron Man, which was really, really cool. Yeah.
At the theater, yeah.
And how Robert and John were going around. So Fruitvale, those are the, actually, he's only done three.
Three movies.
And then he's got a movie called Wrong Answer that he directed and produced but did not write.
Huh.
That is listed as upcoming.
But I think even if they use James Gunn's script, I think I would like to see Coogler direct it.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I really think he did the thing with Black Panther, there's a lot of humor in there.
Uh-huh.
As serious as the story is, there's enough humor in there. I'm like, he can handle humor.
Yeah.
And seriousness. And we don't know where volume 3 was going to fit into the
post-Infinity War Marvel.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, you know.
It'd be interesting. They take, like, Shuri with them and take her into space.
Take who?
Shuri.
Oh, Suri.
Suri, yeah.
Yeah.
Take her into space. Make her a guardian. That'd be interesting.
She's going to be an Avenger.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm thinking that at the end of this next movie, there's going to be some people that are like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Sure.
And they'll need new Avengers.
Yeah.
Because obviously the next Avengers movie would be called New Avengers.
Right. West Coast Avengers.
No, we don't need that.
I know we don't.
We don't need that.
New Warriors.
That'd be like doing...
We don't need that either.
Doing the next X-Men movie and having Magneto as a teacher wearing the purple tart, leotard thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like New Mutants.
No.
No, we don't need that?
No.
So, have you seen anything about Phoenix, the Phoenix Saga? Like
that movie? Or?
Yeah.
No.
Like, I've heard... Like, there's been conflicting reports that it's not getting released.
I think because Disney's had so much to deal with the gun thing.
Yeah.
That they haven't really dealt with the X-Men thing yet.
So.
I can tell you that what was the other one that was coming?
New Mutants.
That's not happening.
New Mutants is never getting released.
It'll get released as a Blu-ray release,
maybe,
probably.
Maybe.
It'll be available on the Disney service.
Well, I think they're smart. And this is, I enjoyed Apocalypse. I don't think it's great. I didn't hate it.
Apocalypse is not a bad movie. The Apocalypse in that movie is not the comic book version. Like,
well,
Thanos and Infinity War is not the comic book one.
Right.
The thing with comic book fans is they, not all of them understand.
Right.
They need to understand you cannot do those characters. Like, you could do Galactus in a movie, but Galactus is not going to be exactly
right
like that.
Right.
Silver Surfer will not be exactly like the comic books because you've had 60 years on some of these characters and you only have maybe 2.5 hours for some of these characters.
Oh yeah.
So you can't do everything.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, you know, and who knows what we're going to get. I mean,
but I think they are smart if they don't release Dark Phoenix.
I want to see it.
I would like to see it too.
Just because the fact that it's, what's his name? Simon Kinberg directed it. It was going to be the last one pretty much from what they said.
And he's done a really good job
of being the producer
of shepherding from First Class on. Yeah. Right. And so I would like to see it for that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like if I'm Marvel and Kevin Feige and Disney.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want those characters connected anymore. Like, I don't think I want the Bryan Singer universe, like, to even be thought about other than, like, oh,
but
this happened a while. Well, right, but this happened before. Like, if they release it now under, like, the Disney banner, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. like, you know, I think maybe direct to the streaming
direct
service
streaming,
is probably
yeah.
the way. And that's a
it's,
good
it's
way.
It's the thing where if they said, we're releasing it on Blu-ray, I'd be like, okay, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
I'll buy it because I want to see it. You know, and I think that a lot of people would buy it on the streaming service
right.
or on a streaming service if they decided to just release it as a,
sure. put on Hulu or whatever.
Right. Yeah. I think that, you know, if they did it where they just did it, like sell it digitally for a few months, they probably make the money that was spent on it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, Blu-ray digital release.
I mean, I don't think they'll make $150 million.
No,
but
they're going to make what they need to make.
But they don't have to do a whole lot of marketing for it then.
No.
And, you know, it's just like, okay, like, let it go out
I
with
mean,
a whimper.
I mean, even if you released, like, if you released that in New Mutants as digital movies and then release them in a two-pack service, like Blu-ray service or something, you'd make some decent money.
Yeah. Oh,
I
yeah.
think so.
I would agree.
But I don't know
that.
The ins and outs of what they have spent, you know, for all this X stuff and FF and all that.
Right.
And, you know, but the thing is everybody's a speculator now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a gold rush.
Right.
You know, everybody's speculating on stuff that they don't even know about. You don't know. You don't work at Disney. You don't work at 20th Century Fox. You don't know if they're not going to do Aliens movies anymore. You don't know if they're going to do Predator movies anymore. You're not working there.
I saw a report saying that they're not going to do genre movies. And it's like, well, why would they spend...
Disney's done genre movies for the whole time that they've been around. They're called animated movies.
But why would they spend 67, 73, yeah. whatever billion to get those rights?
It's just people who think they know stuff and they don't know anything.
Honestly, I would like to see them keep the 20th Century Fox banner.
Oh, they will. They'll
alive?
Keep it like they'd keep ILM or Lucasfilm,
right.
Marvel. You know, at the beginning of those movies, does it have a Disney symbol at all?
Yes.
None of them.
They do.
No, they don't. The Marvel movies do not have
oh,
Disney.
Oh, you're
in
right.
The front
it's just at the end
Marvel
on the
Studios,
credits. Yeah.
You know, and Disney pops up at the end.
I think it would almost make sense to, though, put all of that under 20th Century Fox.
Yeah.
Not even have Disney anywhere on it.
Aliens and Predator and Planet of the Apes and all those would be part of the 20th Century Fox division of the Disney production.
Is Buena Vista still like a studio that they talk about?
No, not really.
That's not a thing anymore.
Well, it's the same as Hollywood Pictures. But, they don't use it as much because they started buying everybody else.
Right. So
they don't need to pay for the making more studios because now they just buy studios.
Right. Right.
And produce stuff through them.
Yeah. Okay.
So like rated R movies, like people are like, Disney never produces rated R movies.
But they
guess
have.
What? Follow their history. They produced a lot of rated R movies when they were Hollywood studios.
And they had Miramax in there for a while and
for a minute.
And
yeah.
So I don't know. I don't get it.
And they were only like a partner in Miramax. They Weinsteins were the
Yeah, they helped distribute Miramax. So
yeah, they were just like the distribution partner because
that was the Buena Vista part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Yeah.
I
mean, but like with Hollywood Pictures, that was their company. So everything that got made through Hollywood Pictures was a Disney production.
Right.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit was not a Disney movie.
No.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit was a Hollywood Pictures movie.
Right.
And people are like, oh, that was a Disney movie. No.
No.
It had Disney at the end of it, mm-hmm. just like anything else that Disney throws money into. But no, it wasn't a Disney movie. It had Disney characters in it. It had Warner Brothers characters in it.
Right, right.
It's one of the best movies ever made because they were able to cross over almost everybody.
Well, they did it right. They did what was right for the story.
Yeah.
The entire time.
Yeah.
And what was right to the characters.
And
that's
that sort the thing,
of thing
is like, that's where I look at like Sony with the Venom movie and Spider-Man and all that. It's like, why didn't Sony just like say to Marvel, yeah, we own the characters. You can rent them.
Right.
We don't want to make those movies anymore.
Yeah.
And do something else. Sony could do something else with their money.
I don't know. I think it's greed.
Yeah.
I've seen mixed reviews online, so I don't know what the actual like sentiment about Venom is.
I mean, has anybody even seen a cut of this movie yet?
I don't know, but like from the trailers, I'm kind of left with a eh.
It's kind of like Deadpool 2. Eh.
Yeah. Like when Deadpool 1 came out. Like
Deadpool 1 had a good trailer. It had a decent story. It looked like Deadpool looks.
Right.
I don't like Deadpool that much. And I was like, you know what? This looks like Deadpool. I'll go check it out.
Well, because we went to see it. And it was a fun movie. And it was really well done for a comic book movie. But
Deadpool 2? They tried too hard.
They went full Reynolds.
They just
let Ryan Reynolds run wild with the script.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But so back to the Infinity War Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So like just as an impromptu review, I guess. I've watched all the special features that came with iTunes.
I haven't watched all of them yet.
There's I'm hoping more stuff comes out.
I don't know.
So
when you get the Blu-ray, you get the digital code to load on
Vudu.
So everything just pushed right over to that too. But the director Roundtable was only exclusive to the digital.
No, I have it on. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was not on. It's not on the Blu-ray.
Oh, okay. I get it.
And the one thing that sucked is there was no DVD with it this time. Like there has been.
Do you need a DVD anymore?
Well, I have a DVD player upstairs and a Blu-ray player downstairs. So it's like if I was like, I'll just put it in and go to sleep.
Okay.
That would have been. But I'm like, you know, it's not a major thing, but I'm like, every other movie you've done, you put DVDs in there. It's like, I'm paying the same price and I'm not getting one of the discs.
Well,
yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, I think you're going to stop seeing that.
Well, you're going to eventually just see it going digital all the way. And
I don't think you will. I really don't.
I don't think so. But
I think what it's going to change to is it's just going to be like Steelbox collector versions.
Yeah.
And where you pay like $25 to $30.
If I was paying for a Steelbox
that
was $24.99 with the Blu-ray and the digital code in it, I would have less of an issue, but I'm just paying for a flimsy plastic case with the, you know, cardboard around it that I throw into recycling.
Right.
Anyways.
That you don't keep. You just put it because you put it in a binder.
Well, yeah. At this point, yeah. They all go in a binder.
I mean,
so
I got all my binders down
there. The Blu-ray
there,
cases get thrown away and I stick the paper in the binder.
Right.
You know, so
right.
It's just one of those things where it's like, be a little cheaper, especially when we know your money made its movie.
Right, right.
The movie made its money back, like in the first week.
$1.3 billion or whatever.
Like,
so
you don't have to be that greedy.
There's
no sales on those movies. And the worst thing is like, you know, and because this is an impromptu review of the Blu-ray, Target has the 4K.
Right.
And you get a free book with it.
Oh.
But you don't get a free book with the regular Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Just with the 4K.
Yeah, well.
And I'm like, okay, what if I just want the book? You know?
eBay, my friend. eBay.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I would have liked to seen like a little more. Like the blooper reel.
There's not enough on there. Like I looked.
The bloopers and the deleted scenes have been like vaunted online, right?
Yeah.
Like I've seen a ton of like YouTube videos showing up, like where it's like a 15-minute video about the blooper reel, which is
a review?
2 minutes long.
A 15-minute review?
That's what I'm assuming it is because I didn't click on it and see, but the
that's kind of ridiculous.
The bloopers were 2 minutes and 38 seconds.
Oh wow,
okay. It's short, and it was like,
yeah,
okay, like, and the deleted scenes, there weren't really a lot of them. So the cool
were
thing
they more deleted or extended?
More, they were more deleted, and they weren't there for a reason. The cool thing with the digital special features is they will update them as things,
yeah,
as they
introduce
more. So that's
Voodoo,
what I'm
yeah,
really hoping for with the Voodoo or the iTunes and stuff like that. So. Well, the cool thing, did you do the Disney Movies Anywhere, which is like Movie Go now or
so
whatever it's
linked,
called?
It's linked to Vudu.
Yeah. So if you ever got like an Apple TV,
yeah,
like all
yeah,
like
yeah,
not everything, but like 95% of the
yeah,
movies that I've got
that
like go both ways.
Yeah, the digital codes, like all the digital codes for Disney movies are pretty much like if you load it on Vudu, it's available on your Anywhere.
Yeah.
And if you load it on your Anywhere, it's available on your Vudu.
Right.
So they say you can load it on either one and it'll show up.
And then if I load it on iTunes, it's available same way. So it's really kind of cool.
So I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And, you know, the thing that sucks is like some of those movies, I'm like, I would just want to add them onto my digital.
Yeah.
But I don't want to pay for them again.
Right.
Because I'm like, they could have done it. And there's where a good idea would have been. If I would have bought Avengers Infinity War at $24.99, which I did. And you said there's a digital code for all three Avengers movies in there. I would have been like, hell yeah, it's worth $24.99 at that point.
Because I got it for $19.99 on iTunes
right,
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So.
And that's what I paid $5 for a digital code.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Kind of, yeah. So whereas, or
I would be happy to pay a $5
or I look at it as you paid $5 for a disc.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, same difference, but. You know, it's that idea of because most Blu-rays should be $20
right,
when they come out brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And that and if they're not, I don't buy them anymore. I just wait for Black Fridays now because it's
right,
like, you know, because there's what, 3 or 4 movies now that I've passed on.
Like when Deadpool 2 finally
and I
hits.
I don't want to pay the right, expense of digital either because on Black Friday, I get $5 or $10
well,
for it with the digital code.
But so, like, throughout the year, like Vudu and Marvel, like,
yeah,
I just got an email today. Vudu's got a big sale going on. And, you know, like, iTunes, like, I have a, like, you can ask Angel about it. I play a game. It's called Oh, That's Too Expensive.
Yeah.
Where I go through the under $8 movies.
Yeah.
And if it's not $4.99,
yep,
I'm like, oh, that's too expensive and move
it's
on.
It's
kind of
like going
so,
to Walmart and they have the $7 Blu-ray bin there. And I'll literally just spend like 25, 30
yeah,
minutes sometimes moving everything around
right,
to see what's in it. Because I'm like, there's always some piece of gold in the $7 bin.
So for $4.99 over the last 3 weeks or so, I got Hot Rod, Wayne's World, and Dodgeball.
Oh, see, yeah.
So,
Wayne's World totally is
yeah,
like, you know. Dodgeball I've only seen once, and I don't know if I've ever seen Hot Rod.
I love Hot Rod. It's
Hot Rod,
Andy
the
Samberg.
Andy
yeah,
Samberg.
Well,
bicycle.
The moped. The moped.
Yeah.
Yeah. With
a moped is a bicycle with an engine.
Well, true.
It
true,
is
very true. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm happy that I got it. You know, I've watched it, I think, 4 times now
sure,
in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
When it first came out, because you remember Casey sent the note to the group, and I was like, got it, watched it, because I watched it
sure,
from
yeah,
what, midnight? Well, I got the notification on my phone that it was available because I pre-ordered it. And
okay,
I got the notification on my phone that it was available to watch at 12:05.
Right.
And I was about to go to bed. And I was like, I think I'm going to watch this. And
I was up until 1 o'clock.
And so I was thinking, oh, yeah, I'm totally going to fall asleep watching this.
No.
No.
And my thing that I said to her, because I asked her, I said, do you care if I watch this? She had gone to bed already. I'm like, do you care if I go ahead and watch this? I said, I can wait.
Yeah.
And I told her yesterday, like when I got up, you know, I worked late on Wednesdays.
Right.
When I got up, I told her, I said, I'm glad I didn't go see this 3 or 4 times in a theater. And she was like, why? I said, because there was things I forgot.
Yeah.
I said, and I enjoyed this movie so much more because I was like, oh, yeah, the part when Black Panther and Cap run down the field and run ahead of everybody else. I was like,
oh, you forgot
totally
all about,
forgot
that.
About that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was so awesome to see again.
There were just some like little bits of dialogue that missed. Yeah. And
well, then we've seen it. There was so much laughing in that it was like, you know, or the screaming and the crying when everybody was disappearing.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, yeah, I got to hear what Peter said. And that, and the whole explanation of it was his spider sense tingling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. It was really cool. So, yeah, I think it's, I want to see more special features come out.
Sure. I can see that. And I mean, and the thing is there may be more because of the second part that we won't see until because of the second part.
So
that's just working on post effects and that's it.
The honest trailer for Avengers Infinity War just came out.
Oh, I watched it.
And it was so funny. And I like how they're talking about, they convinced us that this was a standalone movie.
Yeah.
And we still loved it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, that one was as good as their Star Trek The Next Generation one, where they didn't have any hate for it.
Right.
They just were like, oh, this. Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's not that good.
You got to. I love it when they're, you got to get over this, but this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So. But yeah, so definitely go and check that one out. It was really,
I mean, digital,
quite good.
Blu-ray,
yeah.
Whatever, you know, whatever you can afford,
or just whatever's the media type of your choice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But I mean, it's like, and it's a thing now with money. It's like whatever you can afford, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
You know, I think I need a new sound system, but
I think you just need a new TV.
No, my TV's fine.
Like just
a
little
Vizio.
Bigger TV. Yeah,
it's a Vizio, but the sound on some movies is different now.
Well, it's like, it seems like certain things I have to turn it up to like 50.
Yeah.
And certain things it's at like 9.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But.
And it depends. And sometimes it depends on your platform that you're watching it on too.
Yeah.
Like, because stuff on Hulu plays loud.
Oh yeah.
Stuff on Netflix plays low now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what did you guys do?
They jacked it up.
Yeah. It's all good.
Yup.
Digital nerd talk.
All right, so in other news,
Star Wars track.
I was trying not to say Star Wars. So
Star Wars track has cast Kylo Spock.
Spocklo Ren. But because we did
Spock Kenobi.
We did a whole thing of Star Trek for a year.
Well, right.
And I called it Star Wars probably 800 times. So I was trying to be
drinking game.
Nice. Yeah, no kidding. No, there should be
all Polish fans out there.
There should be the drinking game for how many times Brian sighed during the Star Trek episodes, because
that's part of the drinking game during the Star Trek episodes. Because
I told you before we sat down that I couldn't eat, I can't even today.
Yeah.
Because it was just this week has not been great.
We've had one of the shortest reviews ever doing a Star Trek review.
True. It was 15 or 17
minutes.
No, it was 20. It was 21 minutes in total. So
Star Trek 5 got a 21 minute review.
And,
when I come up on somebody sleeping and they're sleeping in the bed and it's on and I'm like, don't watch this. You'll have nightmares.
This is a bad
I'm
movie.
Not even awake.
So Star Trek Discovery has its Spock.
Yes.
And his name is Ethan Gregory Peck.
Mm-hmm.
Better known as Ethan Peck.
Right.
As Spock. He's Gregory Peck is his grandpa, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
He's best known for the CW streaming show I Ship It.
Okay.
Which it was actually, I watched like all 17 episodes. Like, I was embracing my
inner. Is he in
inner
the whole thing?
Yeah, he's the male lead.
Okay.
And then he was in The Sorcerer's Apprentice with Nick Cage. He was in In Time. You know, And oh, and then he was on the TV show 10 Things I Hate About You as Patrick Verona, which is the Heath Ledger character.
Okay.
So he's got
like
the
hair in that, did he?
I don't know. I never watched it. So I didn't go too deep into like the pictures or anything.
Huh.
He looks like the current pictures of him. He's got that very like Nimoy Quinto look to him.
Sure. Yeah.
He's got the dark hair already.
What you're
so
saying is he looks like a Vulcan without the Vulcan.
He kind of does. Yeah. Like he's got that stern, like,
yeah.
But
yeah, I totally heard about this through Instagram.
Yeah.
Because
you had
Adam
texted
Nimoy
me
had posted, or maybe it was Twitter. Either one. Adam Nimoy had posted that, you know, welcome to the family and all that type
and
of
stuff. And there
was
a great picture with Adam and Ethan, like with Adam hugging him and stuff. Yep. So that was really cool. Because it was funny because you texted me and you're like, did you see the Discovery news?
Yeah.
And I almost texted you back. I think that shuttle blew up.
It didn't.
No, I know. That's why I said
if it
I think
did now
right.
It was at a museum.
Yeah. Well, because and then you're like, then immediately I tagged you on an Instagram post, which I didn't get to look at for like an hour and a half because it's been a week. And
but I was just like, I'm like, at first it was like, well, what does this mean? Welcome to the family. And then it's like I went and searched him out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's playing Spock because he's got like a full beard right now.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, maybe Spock has a beard.
Maybe
some
he's
point.
Mirror Universe Spock.
Well, I think that like whatever this secret mission that they mentioned in the preview that Spock's on is going to be something of interest.
So I'm going to have to watch this, aren't I?
I don't know.
I'm waiting for
they
you to watch it.
They announced that the first season is coming out at the end of September.
Right.
So I might just go ahead and buy that.
See, I want you to watch it for at least like maybe three or four episodes.
So I can tear it apart or
and so
say,
you can
this
say,
is a decent Star Trek.
So you can either say, this is decent, you should watch it so we can talk about it. This is decent, you should watch it because you should watch it.
Right.
Or when I'm done with this, I'll lend you the DVDs and they can sit on top of your PlayStation 4 for 6 months. So,
or if it comes with a digital code, I'll load the digital code, bring the Blu-rays over here. You can watch the Blu-rays and I'll watch it on digital.
Sure.
And
that would work.
But I understand what you're saying because I'm more of more Star Trek fan watching the first few episodes. It's like Orville where like I watched the first one and I was like, yeah, I don't know. And then you and Aaron were like, no, watch more. And by the time I got done, I'm like, Seth MacFarlane did a good translation of his fanship of Star Trek. And I'm like, because everybody's going to have a different opinion of what Star Trek should be.
Right. That,
but he did a decent job translating Star Trek into what he thinks it is.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm very curious. And with the shakeup of, you know, the showrunner is different this year.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on behind the scenes when this show was being produced?
So the first season, it was Brian Fuller.
Yeah.
And then
Brian Fuller left.
Then he left before it even hit air.
Right.
And then they brought in new people. And I know there were rewrites.
People that worked with him.
Right.
Yeah. But where did he go? What did he go to?
Oh, what did he go do? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
I mean, he's always doing something.
Right.
So.
But it's that thing where now it's Orsi?
Yes. Yeah. No, Kurtzman.
Is it Kurtzman?
Yeah.
Okay. Which they usually work together, so I'm kind of surprised.
No,
that
they quote unquote broke up.
Oh,
like
did they?
They're not like a. Oh wait, no, I'm thinking of the dudes from Lost. Never mind.
Okay.
I don't know about Orsi and Kurtzman.
Cuse and Lindelof.
Carlton and Cuse.
Yeah, Carlton Cuse and Lindelof do their own things now.
Mm-hmm.
And that
they're not a team
anymore. Because Orsi and Kurtzman have a production company that does like Hawaii Five-O, and will be doing Magnum PI and does MacGyver, and they do a lot of the remake stuff.
So Magnum PI.
Yeah.
I really like Jay Hernandez as an actor.
Yeah.
Like I'll go see most things that he's in.
Sure.
I loved him in Hostel. I like what happened to him in Hostel 2 because it was a nice little. Well,
I know
you only have to watch the first couple minutes.
I know what happens to him.
End of Watch. No, not End of Watch. Yeah, End of Watch.
End of Watch, yeah.
No, I'm sorry, not End of Watch. Takers.
Oh, okay.
Takers with him is great.
Yeah.
I love his character in that.
Takers is just one of those movies that's a good movie.
It is. It's an underrated
movie. Like, yeah, very underrated.
He's one of the few things I liked about Suicide Squad.
Sure.
Actually, if you go back and listen to the review, he was the only thing that I liked.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It was nice seeing him in Bright.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was one of the surprise things of Bright to me that I was like, oh, cool, there's Jay Hernandez.
Of course.
And I'm like, well, because, you know, he was in Suicide Squad.
Well, in David, shoot, what's his last name? The director.
Russell?
No.
No.
That's a mess. The guy who directed that in Bright and Suicide Squad directed in...
Did he direct?
He did End of Watch. Yeah, Jay Hernandez was in End of Watch.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. I
was
seen
getting
Watch,
confused
it
with
was
something.
Gyllenhaal and Hernandez.
Him.
Yeah,
right? Because yeah. Anyway,
were you telling me your feelings on
Magnum PI thing? Sorry, like I watched the preview and it's like I feel like I've watched enough of this series.
It's going to cross over with Hawaii Five-0,
which I've never watched.
I stopped watching when Grace Park and
yeah.
Yeah, because I was kind of, that was irritating.
Yeah.
And Megan Rath from Being Human is on there now.
Right, which I like her.
I'm
but
like, you
at
know, that's
same
fine,
time.
But I'll just watch it when the streaming of that season comes on and that way I can watch it at my pace and not have to keep up with everything. There's been a lot of stuff that happened on Hawaii Five-0 in the last couple of years that just made me go, meh. You know, the story kind of just went, like, petered off.
Okay.
And Magnum PI takes place in Hawaii.
Right.
So it's like, oh, yeah, they're being produced by the same people. It's going to be a crossover at some point, and MacGyver will show up too.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that new MacGyver at all.
Is that still on?
Yeah. It's on the second season. It's coming out. Yeah.
Because isn't that the kid who was Havoc in First Class?
Yeah. And George Eads from CSI is playing Bruce McGill's role from the original.
I don't remember the original enough.
So the original was like the first season is just MacGyver.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally there's no other recurring or return, you know, regular characters. And then the second season has Pete, who was running the company that MacGyver worked for, is the only other like regular character. And then there's just a stream of recurring characters.
Okay,
so like Terry Hatcher was a recurring character. Huh. Michael DeBars was like a recurring villain.
Okay.
Bruce McGill was a recurring character who was a friend of MacGyver's.
Okay.
Who was also a pilot.
He was like his buddy.
Yeah, he was literally like...
like Bobby on
Jack,
Supernatural.
The guy who was flying the plane in the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Jock. Jock Lindsey.
Yeah.
Jock Lindsey is Indiana Jones' friend.
Right.
He flies him places and then just hangs out and waits for him to come
back. To come running with arrows flying.
Yeah, except with Bruce... I think it is Bruce McGill that played, was it Animal House, right?
Yeah.
That played,
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so it was him, yeah.
Anyway.
And they were great. They had a great chemistry. And Terry Hatcher and Richard Dean Anderson had a really good chemistry.
Cool.
Cuba Gooding Jr. was on there for a few times.
Interesting.
Well, there was this family of bounty hunters that popped up once in a while that, like, Cuba Gooding Jr. was the youngest brother.
Okay.
But it was, like, three brothers, and they tried to do a spinoff of it and everything. It was one of those backdoor pilot type things did. But, I mean, I don't know. I haven't watched the new MacGyver, but, like, I think part of the reason I didn't watch the new MacGyver is because I enjoyed the original so much.
Yeah.
And I was just like, did we really need...
Do we need another Magnum?
Another Magnum PI? So, all
right, we've gotten off on a huge tangent here from...
but it's Star Trek Discovery is the same
But
way.
Discovery, yeah.
Well, it's all... You know,
I just don't want to see
of these shows
that time frame.
Now
I'm just over that
of the
time
sentiment,
frame. Right?
Sentimental,
yeah. The nostalgia, the member berries, if you will.
Yeah, member.
Member
berries. Member Spock. He's gonna be on that new show.
Member Spock. Member Spock again.
Yeah.
Member Spock again.
It gives potential for a lot of like you know if Discovery continues on for a while to do like get Zachary Quinto do a crossover. Yeah. You know,
a Kelvin
alternate universe type thing. Comic books did it well enough.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm like, where is our Star Trek comic book? Because IDW canceled the one.
Boldigo.
Yeah.
Which made me sad.
So, you know, where's our Star Trek comic guy?
Well, I mean, right now they're just doing the next gen.
Discoveries.
Because you haven't seen it.
I haven't watched it.
The next gen Mirror Universe stuff is cool.
I need to catch up on that.
So, because they're in Terra Incognito now. They're in like the third one. So.
Yeah, and that's cool, but.
I really like Mirror Universe Picard. And I would really like to see Sir Patrick play him.
Like in the like, series that he's going
to
be doing?
It doesn't even have to be in the series. It could be just a series of like short YouTube videos.
It's just weird because, you know, there's a like a continuity issue for me.
Yeah.
Because of Deep Space Nine explained the whole history that had happened after the original Star Trek episode. And it's like, you know, yeah, these are all imaginary stories. So I'm cool with that. But I'm just like, how much can you do?
Right.
You know, so, but the Spock thing, that's fine. And that, like I said, I'll probably just buy the box set. So I don't want to pay for the service.
Yeah.
And that, and it's going to cost me, you know, 2 months of service pay to watch, you know, buy a box set and watch it.
Right.
And judge from there if I want to pay for the service to watch the second season or just wait for the box set to come out for the second season.
Right. So,
I mean, it's nothing against Star Trek. It's nothing against this service. It's just a matter of how many services am I paying for now? And do I want to pay for one where it's only one show?
Right.
That's the thing. If there was other shows on there that I wanted to watch, and I know it has the old CBS shows on there and that, but I don't have time to watch old stuff. I'm trying to keep up with the new stuff. And it's just one of those things where you only have one show to sell me on there. Because I didn't watch The Good Wife, so the good whatever it is not up my alleyway.
Yeah.
So.
Well, like, you know, you're talking about, like, rewatching old stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I just went back and rewatched Korra.
Well, and there's...
Because we finished Voltron.
Right.
Season 7, which we'll talk about next week.
Probably not.
Oh, dude, you're missing out.
We'll watch it, but you said it was 13 episodes. That takes a little longer.
It's 13 22-minute episodes, so it's 2 6-hour. It's 2 3-hour movies. Right. But
how often do I watch 2 3-hour movies in one day?
Oh, I'm not saying often. In one day. Right. I'm saying, but you have all week. Anyway, well, I guess you don't because we're recording on Thursday. Yeah. So, well, once you start though, you won't stop.
Maybe.
Like, we almost finished all 13 in the one day.
Right.
And the only reason we stopped is because we had a break where we went out and did stuff.
Right.
And then came back and immediately she and I sat back down and watched it. Best season yet.
Yeah. Okay.
So I know you don't want me to spoil things, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But no, like the whole idea of Discovery to pay for one show that I'm not even sure I'm going to like.
Right, yeah.
And like we tried the CBS app a long, 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 long time ago.
It was clunky. You said
and it was horrible. It was the worst UI. It buffered. And like we have really high speed internet here.
Yeah, I have crappy internet compared to you.
And the fact that it like it was just. Crap,
and they may have updated,
and I'm sure they have. But at the same time,
producing real shows on it, like, they better have updated it.
So I don't know. Anyway, all right. So, do you have anything else you want to say about?
No.
I just want to say good luck.
Welcome to
good
the
luck,
family.
Ethan.
Yeah, welcome to the Star Trek family. You know, look forward to seeing what you do with it.
I like
the same
him.
As Zachary Quinto. It's like, you know, we knew him as Siler. From Heroes.
I mean, Zachary Quinto as Siler, where he was right after he got the nuclear power.
Yeah.
And he was standing on that that rooftop where he was like going from one hand up through his arms to the other hand with the fireballs or with the fiery hand.
Right.
Like that was my desktop background for years.
Hmm.
Right. Like it was such an iconic shot. Yeah. So when he became Spock, I was on board because I'm a fan. And he was on some other show that I liked back in the day, too.
No idea.
This kid, I liked him as Saxon in I'll Ship It.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely excited to see what he does with Spock. So,
and this is Spock 10 years before Kirk.
Yeah.
So this is Spock.
He's going to be super logical. There's going to be no rule breaking.
Well, he smiles in the cage, though.
So, well.
The cage was with Pike.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see if any of the other members of that crew will show up on the show.
Maybe.
Or if they'll just blow Discovery up and just do it as Star Trek with Pike.
That would be... I think that would be problematic.
It could be.
So, because... well, how do you say her name?
Oh, Sinequa would be on it.
Like, Sinequa, one, she was the only thing I liked about The Walking Dead when I was watching. Like, you know, I mean, I haven't watched it in a long time. But, like, I think if they were to, like, remove her from the show, it would be horrible.
Her.
It would be such a stupid move.
Because, no, I don't think they'd remove her, but I think, like, if they decided that, you know, we'll put her on the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It'll be interesting to find out.
I'd be curious.
So, all right.
I'm more curious about why they can't have a captain. Pike's filling in as the captain because Discovery doesn't have a captain.
I don't know.
Why not make Doug Jones' character the captain, Saru or whatever? I'm like, an alien captain would be kind of cool.
That would be really cool. Yeah. So, all right, let's talk Fantastic Four numero uno.
Sure.
Did you, you read it?
Yeah, I read it last night.
All right. I love the opening to Steve Ditko.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it
the
was,
eulogy, the,
it was yeah. really great. I thought this was the right book to do it in.
Sure.
And it just kind of, to me, put me in a really good mindset to read this.
Right.
Now, I have been both very positive and negative about Dan Slott over the years.
Right.
On a whole, I think the last 10 years of Spider-Man have been a highlight.
Sure.
And that's because
what I've
of
read
how.
Of it. I enjoyed. I mean, I read the superior stuff, and I
right.
And I read the superior stuff just because I thought it sounded cool.
And that
I was like,
to
that's
me,
a really good story.
That to me is his. His peak,
yeah.
His apex mountain, if you
okay.
will. I did not like the Silver Surfer book that he wrote, but that had nothing to do with him. I don't like the Silver Surfer.
Right.
Just saying it. All right. I have liked...
It does affect, like, you know, if you like a character or not, it affects how you read
exactly.
whoever writes the book.
So I've enjoyed the Fantastic Four off and on for 30-plus years.
Sure.
I liked Aaron's run on it. I liked what Hickman did up until the Future Foundation.
Sure.
And then when he split the Future Foundation up, I stopped liking Fantastic Four
okay.
the way he was doing it. I just didn't care for it. When it went away after Fanforestic,
yeah,
I wasn't sad because I thought the book was at a creative low. I do believe that Dan Slott is the right man for the job to reintroduce the first family of Marvel.
Sure.
So I'm interested to hear what you have to say about this really very much a prologue of an issue.
Right. This was just a preview book, really.
So like, I mean, when number two comes out next
I
month.
I enjoyed the thing that Dan Slott wrote at the end that Scotty Young did for with the Impossible Man.
Right.
Where it's like, wait a minute, was this a trick?
So when number two comes out, I want to review that one as well.
Sure.
On the show.
Yeah. I'll probably get at least the first six issues of this story.
Yeah.
Just to see where it goes. I would like more explanation of what happened to Dr. Doom, because last I knew he was a superhero.
So I skipped the two and ones.
Okay. Does he show up in that story?
I don't know, because I didn't read.
Okay.
Like, you were getting, I know you were getting
them. I got the
first
few of them, and
but,
then I was just like, I
so I skipped
them,
those.
So I didn't pick them up anymore.
The superior, or the, well, the infamous Iron Man,
right.
I really liked, but I stopped getting it around the time that Marvel did their thing with the digital codes.
Right.
And never went back to
okay.
it. So I'm assuming something happened at the end.
Well, his face is melted again.
And, you know, if you really want to find out,
yeah,
like, just go to the website and go to the Comixology page
sure.
and sign up for the 30-day free trial
right.
of
and just go look
Unlimited.
For what happened.
So, because it's been about 6 months, so it should be
yeah.
on there.
Yeah.
So,
I was just, that part of that story was surprising, because I'm like, oh, okay, I would have rather liked to seen hero Dr. Doom interact with the Fantastic Four than
yeah.
just plain old Dr. Doom again. You know, that's kind of where I was. That was the one thing in the story. I liked the interaction between Ben and Johnny, because the interaction was a little bit more mature. Like, Johnny has become a more mature character.
So Johnny spent a good chunk of time in the Inhumans book.
Right.
Because he was with Medusa.
Right.
And he really, for me, changed during that story in a good way.
Yeah.
And I was excited to see him. I don't know who the guy he was with was.
Wyatt Wingfoot.
I don't.
He was part of the Fantastic Four at one point.
Okay. I was just
yeah.
having a complete brain fart about who he was.
He's part of the extended family.
Yeah.
Like Jennifer She-Hulk.
Okay.
Is, and now Medusa was part of, mm-hmm. you know, everybody, there's been a lot of people, like, you know, like everybody says, everybody was an Avenger at one
yeah.
point. There's been a few people that have been,
well, Scott Lang was in the Fantastic Four,
right?
So,
well, and if you think about it, there was a different Fantastic Four that had Wolverine, Hulk,
mm-hmm.
and Ghost Rider and Spider-Man in it.
Yep.
So, but at certain points, like, the Thing has gone away, and
right,
She-Hulk filled in.
Yep.
And Wyatt Wingfoot was one of those characters.
Okay. So, I didn't have a chance to go look it up. Yeah. I liked the interaction with him and Johnny at the Mets
game.
Yeah,
they're really good friends. Yeah. Like, you know, they're all family. At this point, it's like, you know, they can do a Fantastic Four book and have more than just the four.
Yeah.
Obviously, they will because you have Valeria and Franklin.
Right.
But they, I mean, the whole thing with Jennifer being there, mm-hmm. not even a She-Hulk, just Jennifer. And then, you know, Medusa showing up and...
Did you... And Luke Cage? Because I think he was in the Fantastic Four for a little bit.
Yeah, he was in there at one point.
Did you read the She-Hulk book from a couple, like, years ago? I don't think it's still being published.
No. The one where she was angry?
Yeah, where she, like, she just kept hulking out randomly. Yeah. That was really, really good.
Yeah, I didn't read that one. I'm not a big She-Hulk fan.
I wasn't either,
the only She-Hulk, like, that I ever enjoyed was the John Byrne stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I'm not a She-Hulk fan at all.
So, okay.
I like the idea of She-Hulk. Some people don't translate her real well.
Yeah.
They try to make her into Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's not that Hulk.
So that was coming directly out of Civil War II.
Right.
Where she had been injured and she just didn't have any control. Sarah Pacelli's art is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and this is different than her work on Spider-Man.
She mainly did Miles. Okay.
So, and then she did the Spider-Man, and like I really like the way she handled Peter with making him more lanky. Again, I love the way she draws Johnny, especially when he's on fire.
Yeah.
Like beautiful. Just absolutely like Sarah, if someone ever can send this to Sarah, where the panel where he says he does, but the panel where he says flame on at the Mets game.
Yeah.
I would just like that panel as a poster because I think it's really cool.
Or you could just find out if the original panel is for sale.
Well, there you go. I could do that too. Yeah. Her thing is great.
Yeah.
He's like the right mix of scaly and rocky and craggy.
Well,
he's
more organic.
Yeah.
Like it's like everybody's drawn a different thing. And my thing would be totally drawn different than Sarah Pacelli's. My thing probably would be closer to a John Byrne type thing. But the thing about it is he's still an organic character.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's not just a rock guy.
I think she nailed the brow.
Oh, the brow. Yeah. And just the story that like he tells.
Yeah.
About the one time that they got trapped and they had to, Johnny had to sing to get him back to Earth.
Right. Well, and it goes on with what Wyatt told him when he's like, hey, anybody ever tell you you've got beautiful pipes?
Yeah.
The kids with the prank, when they broke into, and like I like the whole Yancey Street Punks thing, like that Dan Slott, that was an awesome callback.
Yep.
I'm interested to see what Ben's motivations are for this as they move on, because he dropped all charges because they broke into his house,
and
you know Johnny like wanted to burn those kids alive.
Yeah.
For a second there, I had a flashback to Rising Stars with Pyre.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, it's the whole thing where Ben had let go. Yeah. Ben was like, you know, yeah, they're gone. They're dead. At that point, he was like, yeah, they're dead. And that's still somewhere deep down inside of him. He believed they were alive, but you know, he had to move on.
Yeah.
And Johnny couldn't move on.
Well, I think Johnny, just because it's his sister, probably feels it. You know, maybe a little bit.
But the best part was, and it was like one of those like heartfelt moments, was when Ben asked him to be his best man, and he goes, "I shouldn't be your best man."
Right.
And
well, he's like Reed. Reed is your best friend. Yeah, Reed is the one who should be your best man.
Reed's like your brother. I'm not. You know, but it's like, no, Johnny, you don't understand. He thinks of you as his brother.
Well, because he says here, he said, "Fate brought us together, and it made us more than friends. We're family. You're like a brother to me, Johnny. So I'm asking, would you like to be my best man?" And Johnny throws a temper tantrum.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, no. He yells no. He said, this is all wrong. There's only one person in the whole world who should be the best man at Benjamin J. Grimm's wedding, and that's Reed Richards. And then Ben gets pissed.
Yeah.
You know, he calls him ungrateful. They start to get ready to throw down, and then Alicia steps in.
Right.
And, you know, it was when Johnny died before, like before all of the all new and all of that, Ben took that really hard.
Well, sure.
Because Ben thought he could have saved him. And Johnny went out like a baller, like even though he didn't go out. Like, and then that follow up issue, you have Ben and Thor and Hulk going out into the desert.
Yeah.
Where it was the issue with no words.
Okay.
Where they just beat the shit out of each other. And it's like three pages of just awesome. Okay. And to me, it's almost, it was Hickman at his best. Yeah. I think it was the very best issue Hickman ever wrote because he wrote it in a way that the art told the story.
Yeah.
And I forget who the artist was, and I really, really apologize, and I'm not going to go look it up while we're recording.
Right.
But he did such a you know, pun intended, fantastic job.
Right.
Of making this moment of three characters who are similarly rage filled.
Sure.
In of similar size and stature.
Right. Yeah. We can beat on each other and it's not going to be a problem.
And then breaking down into tears and, you know, hugging it out. And like, right. You know, it was really something. And this reminded me of that because Ben had to be hurt. So hurt by that reaction.
Yeah.
Because it's like, dude, I mourned you. Because yeah. That all happened in this, like, this is still, like,
it's
Marvel
still
canon.
Universe, right.
And so this all happened, and then Johnny takes off and starts yelling at the sky, but then does the right thing and comes
Marvel
back.
Do you follow Marvel on Instagram?
I do not.
So Marvel...
Well, no, I do.
Was
yeah.
posting information about the Fantastic Four
yeah.
the week before.
Right.
I think we're going to see a lot of jumping around worlds.
Yes.
Because they were talking about alternate planets that stuff happened to the Fantastic Four different, and I think that's going to affect this whole story.
So at the end, without getting super spoilery, we get Reed and Sue messing with a device.
Yeah.
And it's just a couple of things, and I do like the one question: do you believe in me? And Sue says, always. And he said, and that's why I can do the impossible. Here yeah. we go. And then, you know, it goes to it's
oh, yeah,
what happens
yeah.
at the end with the signal in the sky. I thought it was a great prologue to what I'm hoping is going to be a solid 20 issue like story.
Sure.
That does what Dan Slott was able to do with Spider-Verse in Big Time and Spider Island
right.
and Superior. Like, that's the level that I'm expecting from him,
like,
for this.
Do you think like the first 5 to 6 issues is going to be a build up and then it's going to be a big story?
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's what I really want.
And
because
that stuff from Secret Empire, or was it Secret Empire? Secret War.
Secret War
ties to this somehow.
It has to.
I'm like, you have to explain where they've been, what they've been doing.
So they set out off the edge of the universe, right? Because
yeah.
you have to remember, at the end of Secret War, they were sending out Wakandan starships
yeah.
filled with people to rebuild the multiverse.
Right.
So I just want Reed and Sue to have been going out and checking to make sure everything is like being built correctly.
Well, it's the thing where once...
And that's where your alternate worlds come
right,
in.
And that's what the thing was. And I think I screen capped that because there was something that like made me go, whoa, okay.
From the comic?
No, from that...
from their Instagram?
Yeah. So it says interdimensional itineraries. Mr. Fantastic and friends traveled to over 100 different dimensions and some weird stuff went down. Obviously.
Yeah.
It says on Earth 111347, Reed Richards became Dr. Doom.
Interesting.
On Earth TRN 425, Ben Grimm became the Hulk.
Interesting.
Earth 311, superheroes exist in the Elizabethan era.
Very cool.
Earth 389694, society, including the Fantastic Four, were wiped out by some cataclysmic event.
Ooh.
On Earth 81551, Reed Richards successfully implemented solve everything plan, resulting in a world without disease, hunger, or war.
Interesting.
Is he a bad guy on that world then?
I don't know.
That's what I'm like. They don't put stuff out like this unless something's coming.
So I think there's a lot of story that they have
yeah.
to tell because of that.
Yeah.
The little backup story in Undoomstad
yeah.
in Latveria was really cool.
Dr. Doom had left Latveria and became a superhero.
Right.
And then returns and everything's bad.
Well, he left a power vacuum
yep.
and the Doombots were reprogrammed. And
who reprogrammed them is what it's like. They didn't
yeah,
really
they
say.
Didn't tell us anything.
So
and
I think
so,
we're going to get a you know, two stories running at once.
I would like this. I would like this to stay as a backup through at least the first 6 to 10 issues, right? I hope Marvel has the patience to do this right, because
I hope that he's not a total villain again. That at times he will be an ally for the Fantastic Four,
right? Because that's when he's the best.
I think that's what he should be.
Yeah.
That, you know, at times he, you know, is part of that family, and at times he's not.
I think when he can put the pettiness aside is when he's really an interesting character.
Yeah.
And then when he's done that and the pettiness comes back, it just makes him that much more sympathetic as a villain. I liked the whole thing where I don't need armor, I don't need robots, I just have this mask and my powers.
Yep.
And I'm a Banff who can do whatever he wants.
Right.
And it was really cool. And
everything that he got beneficiary from Secret War is still there.
When he called it out that I was a god.
Yeah.
So I reread Secret War not too long ago.
Yeah.
The second one. I was unfair.
It's just a weird story.
You know, I think the problem is when you go back and you read it in one sitting.
Yeah.
It's you are not left with that. Why the hell is this book taking 7 months to come out in between issues? Right. And I think Hickman did a better job than he's given credit for with that story. I think Hickman is his own worst enemy when it comes to scheduling, because the whole America's Got Powers book that he did for Image, which I love, but it took forever.
Well, and that's the thing, is like when he's doing his independent books,
you
take as long as you want. It's your book.
Right.
But that, and with Marvel, it was like, why is this taking so long?
And the fact that they had
Marvel's like, you need to figure out what to do with the Fantastic Four. Yeah. And he's like, I don't know what to do because I like them.
Yeah.
I really think that's
because they were his babies.
It's like, you know, if you like a character and they say, kill it off.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I don't want to do. Don't make me be the one that does that.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And that's why they didn't kill him off, because that's why we got the epilogue we got with the family of four out there on the edge of the universe.
Yeah. Retiring, if you will. And then the Impossible Man thing with Scotty Young.
That was just funny.
It was great. Dancelot.
It literally is just the thing telling the fans, there's more to this than what you think.
This is the first time in a long time I've seen a sense of humor from Dancelot.
Yeah.
You know, I follow him on Facebook and on other social networks and stuff.
Now, writing Peter Parker, did he have a sense of humor?
Not really.
Okay.
So
Peter Parker's dark in most of his stories.
Well, no. Oh, I'm sorry. In the books, yes.
Yeah.
I'm saying in real life.
Well,
like,
Dan Slott, the writer, and Dan Slott, the writer of Spider-Man.
Yes.
Are kind of different.
They very much are.
And I think you'll get the same thing with Fantastic Four.
His Peter Parker became very serious over time. Also, I think, though,
he was writing a more adult Peter Parker.
Well, he was adult, and he was trying to get... He'd broken up with Mary Jane.
Right.
He was trying to become more successful. He was, trying to become his own man, finally.
Sure.
And it was almost like a coming of age, not middle age. Like, it was like Peter's quarter life crisis.
Yeah.
And I thought he did it very well.
Yeah.
I also think there were times where the quips and the sarcasm were replaced with cynicism and broodiness that fit the story.
Yeah.
And
like Peter had progressed from, had seen a lot of bad stuff happen over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And that, and especially, I mean, like, Big Time and all those type of things were major stories that affected him and affected everybody around him. So he had grown into like not joking around all the time type of thing,
Well, like with Aunt May marrying J. Jonah Jameson's dad, sort of a thing. And, also like after 700, when Doc Ock was running around in Peter's body and he came back, he was definitely.
He's seen how that affected his world, too.
He saw how there were things that he needed to do different.
Yeah. And like, there were some things that Ock did to Peter that were like totally right for Peter.
Right.
And you're like, why didn't Peter think of this?
Because Peter doesn't think of himself first.
Right. Yeah.
Ever.
And it's like, you have to once
and,
in a while.
And that's what Dan Slott got the most right.
Yeah.
Was getting the Peter is a redemption junkie.
Right.
And he doesn't ever think of himself. And that's what, like, Reed Richards is not that. And Reed Richards
might be a better fit for Dan.
Reed Richards is not interested in redemption. Right. Reed Richards is interested in helping save the universe.
Or just let's go on an adventure.
And then
literally I'm hoping that this book has the tagline.
This
let's
needs
go
to
on
go,
an adventure.
This needs to go back to being a cosmic book.
Yeah. Literally so. the tagline of this book should be let's go on an adventure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it. That's all I need. Because it's like some of the best Fantastic Four stuff is the crazy universe spanning.
And like the one kid who pulled the prank.
Yeah.
Goes, what are you gonna do? Throw me in the negative zone?
Right. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
So that's what Johnny was thinking. And then, you know, I'm very happy with this first issue.
Sure.
So
I don't have a problem with this. I thought it was a well-written book and I'm like, yeah, I'll pick up the first six.
Yeah.
At least. And then just do trades after that more than likely.
Yeah. I mean, because I always just pull the digital codes out and read them on my iPad. Like I'm more than happy to
and do it that way.
Well, they don't come out right away.
Right.
Like it's on a little backlog.
Yeah.
And
but
this
you know, for a book, it's at this point with the collection being so large that there's certain books where I'm just like, if I want to read it, I might just do digital code or digital, you know, digital purchase or whatever.
Yep.
Because it's like, then I don't have to worry about storing a book somewhere.
So Saga just ended.
Yeah.
You know, not ended, but went on hiatus. They said at least a year.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go back and I'm going to buy, because I have all the individual issues for that.
Okay.
I'm going to go back and I'm going to buy all digital. Like, not individual. I'm just going to buy the collections.
The collected
because
trades.
Because I want to sit with those 54 issues again and do it all in, like, a binge.
Yeah.
A binge read. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like, and it's one of those things where I hate having to dig stuff out, but I've been like chomping at the bit to read Sandman again. And
so
I, like,
all of my stuff for the last 2 years is bagged chronologically and not by book.
Right.
It's literally in the order that I bought them.
Yeah.
So, which is not a good place to be with a growing collection.
I've cut back so much that it's like, you know, it's just one of those things where, oh, do I add another book?
Yeah.
But Marvel 2-in-1, that's what happened. I bought the first three issues and I was like, I haven't read those yet. I should probably just drop it. And it's like, this one, I'm going to promise myself to read the first six issues and just be like, okay, I read six issues.
I'm going to challenge you to do the first six and we'll talk about the first six as they each come out.
Sure.
And we'll talk about that first arc because that's how it is now.
Definitely.
So, all right. Anything else you want to talk about?
Nope. That's it.
Cool. Thanks for listening. Go pick up the Fantastic Four. Good luck to Ethan Peck. I'm still not sold on Star Trek Discovery, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, some people like it. Some people don't. That's fine. That's most Star Treks.
Yep. And if you haven't picked up Infinity War on Blu-ray or digital or DVD yet, or 4K.
Have fun when you do.
Yes, have fun. There were a couple lines that I completely missed in the theater made me very happy when I got to
There's
hear
subtle
them.
Stuff so. In there that's like, wow, okay, I missed that.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, we will see you guys next week.
Excelsior.
The Infamous Podcast was recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.